When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Do you need all of them?
Need is such a frivolous term at this point. I mean,
This week on Dueling Review, we take a look at Robin Hood, The Hunt, number one. Robin has finally taken down the monsters and the villains that have plagued New York for far, far too long. Now, with the streets safe again, Robin unfortunately isn't going to get to enjoy them. After being transplanted to an otherworldly, high-tech, maximum security prison, she must fight for her life from some of the very creatures she has placed there. Will she survive with enough of herself intact to get back to the city she calls home? Find out in Robin Hood, The Hunt. So yes. Robin Hood, The Hunt, part one of six. It's been a while since we've taken a look at anything from Zenoscope Entertainment. Just because Zenoscope usually sends their stuff out the day after comic books arrive in stores, so they're kind of low on our list. Mm-hmm. And we've looked at the adventures of Robin Hood, and her name isn't like Robin Hood, like Robin Hood the Archer. It's Robin, R-O-B-Y-N, because she's a girl. But she sure does dress like Green Arrow.
And her name is actually Loxley. Yeah. And Robin of Loxley, of course, is the supposedly historical. I don't believe Robin Hood actually exists, BT Dubs. But supposedly historical name, Robin of Loxley. Loxley, you say.
So she's been captured. She's, I guess, been pushed through a weird dimensional portal. And now she's in this world where she is a prisoner in a maximum security prison. And mm-hmm. I'll be completely honest with you. I said Green Arrow. There was going to be a movie. This was like maybe 8 years ago called Green Arrow Supermax.
David Goyer was all about making this crap.
Yeah. So Green Arrow was going to be locked up in a maximum security prison with like not all of the DC villains, but all of his major villains and maybe some other ones as well. And he was going to have to get out of that prison. And you're mm-hmm. right. David Goyer was behind that. And as I'm reading this book, the only thing I can think of is Green Arrow Supermax.
I had the exact same thought because there was a time when you seemed like you were actually interested in seeing Green Arrow Supermax.
I kind of would have been interested depending on how they would have taken it. But then there was that, it was like spaceship prison movie that came out afterwards, like right around that same period, which Goyer
spaceship
may have worked on.
Prison.
Yeah.
Spaceship
so like the, and
Open
like the president's
coat.
Daughter was up on the spaceship and somebody, it was basically, it could have been a Snake Plissken movie, but
right.
it was super crazy stuff. And after I saw how that one turned out, I was like, no, I'll pass.
Yeah. Snake Plissken, the computer had a snake tattoo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I'm going to be honest with you. That did occur to me during this, and I thought that sounded awful and cliche
yeah.
and terrible.
Right.
And as I was reading this issue, I kind of wished that I could watch that terrible, terrible movie because, man, oh man, is this an issue that is predictable and full of standard issue, tough guy movie to take her down.
Yeah.
Come on and try. Just every bit of the dialogue in this issue is a cliche.
Right. But at the same time, they are turning into the skid with this one. They're rolling with it because at one point, Robin says to her roommate, hey, look, this isn't no Shawshank Redemption. And this isn't Prison Break? Or I forget what the other movie TV reference that she makes. And I'm like, OK, so everybody here knows exactly
right.
what's going on. I mean, they are super aware that everyone's going to look at this and say, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just like the Oz, or it's just like this, or it's just like whatever. And they're okay with that. And I think for what this is, and this is the reason why schlocky storytelling and tropey movies and everything work, right? Because sometimes people just want to see their character, whoever their favorite character may be, in a fill in the blank situation.
Sure. I mean, you want to see Pirate Matter Eater Lad. You want to see Caveman Matter Eater Lad. You want to see, you know.
Yeah, but sometimes you do want to see. Sometimes you do want to see Green Arrow in prison, or sometimes you want to see what would happen if you put a female Green Arrow into a prison. And
well, first off, she'd stab a man in the penis with a spork.
Well, that's what he gets for being such a bad guy.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with this book as a, we've got this fill in the blank kind of, I don't want to say it's a genre, but we got this fill in the blank type storyline where X character goes to jail and X character right. has to be a badass and has to right. defeat everyone who's against him in order right. to survive, and or her in this case. And that's right. what this book is totally about. And we've seen this a million times, but it works. And so yeah. I think that this issue works for what it is, but at the same time, I have no attachment to Robin Loxley, Robin Hood. I have no attachment to this character or this book or this series or anything that's going on with this character. So a lot of me is just like, nah, you know, move along. I don't care one way or another. At the end where they are about to hang her in prison to make it look like a suicide, I'm kind of like, I really don't care if she makes it or not.
Yeah. There's a line in this where a man who apparently is a guard at the prison says, "Don't make me break you." And at that point, I'm out. I mean, there's a scene where they force her to strip so that they can put her in chains and a prison suit. And, you know, the superhero.
Well, you know what? When
prison,
you go to prison, Matthew, they yeah. do make you strip and they,
do
they? And they hose you down.
Do
and
they?
Yeah. Then they powder you down and
Been
then they check
prison,
all of
you?
Your. Then they check all your orifices.
I've seen Cooled Hand Luke 2. I've seen Rambo. And I also know that this is a collection of tropes, both in the dialogue and the characters, in what we're actually seeing here. And while I appreciate the whole superhero in prison, the Cool Hand Luke Cage, if you will, I don't care about this execution. Because it really feels like, as you said, sometimes you want to see your favorite superhero in that familiar tropey situation, but it doesn't feel like there's a lot of effort. You know, is this seat taken? It will be when I put your face through it.
There's but just, come on. You know, when you see like Rambo 4 or when you see Rocky 4 or when you see, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Badmouth Rocky 4.
When you see Rocky Arnold Schwarzenegger in The Running Man and he's just right. one-lining it left and right. Yeah, you gotta say, okay, let me just Killian get into this. And that's yeah. kind of what's going on here.
The worst of those has, I mean, even the worst part of The Running Man, which, by the way, is Maria Conchita Alonso calling Dynamo a fat man with a battery up his butt.
I thought it was the part where Arnold Schwarzenegger says, "Where did you hide the drive?" And she's like, "None of your business."
She put it in her butt.
I don't think she put it in her butt.
No. Okay. I don't know. I feel like, if you're going to do something like this, I want to feel something that feels like it's fresh or new or different. I want something that doesn't feel just like by the numbers. I'm being held by false pretenses against my will. I'm not innocent, but I've made my mistakes. And then I really don't appreciate the ending part. I was actually kind of put off by the whole, oh, we're going to hang her and pretend that we're going to hang her for two reasons. One, they make a point of saying we made this out of bed sheets instead of rope, but it's clearly drawn as rope.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're twisted up really good. Plus, they're dirty sheets too, so gross.
And they're ropes. But secondly, I don't feel for a second like there's jeopardy for Robin. And I think part of that is the fact that immediately after the cliffhanger of will she or won't she, we see the cover of next issue where she's going to stab people. Now, we've had this discussion before about a good cliffhanger and a bad cliffhanger. We know they're not going to kill Batman. We know that these things aren't going to be immediate. They're not going to be forever. But you want it to feel like it has consequences. You want it to feel like there's something here that feels like it has emotional stakes or some sort of continents. And I just don't get that.
Well, I think my problem is, and you kind of, it kind of dovetails right into what you're saying is, yes, I can see where someone might be walking down the comic book aisle and saying, oh, Robin Hood the Hunt, and there's a sexy girl running down a hallway and people are shooting at her on flying things and, ooh, cool, I want to pick this up. And, of course, this is an ongoing, even though this is part one of six and it's listed as number one issue, this is actually, you know, like issue 527 of, you know, of an ongoing series, kind of like what Hellboy does. And it's so like- they do spend the first page and a half or so saying, hey, I was fighting so-and-so and I fell through this magic mirror into this crazy land and now these things happen. And that's all well and good because that does kind of get that new reader into what this world is about. The thing that this issue fails in, though, is as a new reader, they haven't made me care about this character.
Well, I think their biggest failing is the fact that the first words in the issue are, we're not in Kansas anymore.
Well, that's only if you're from Kansas.
No, that's if you're anybody. That is one of the laziest
Sandler-level cliches. How many times when you go up to someone when you're in a different state, and I don't mean Missouri, Oklahoma, or Nebraska.
I don't do that, Steven.
And someone says to you, oh, where are you from? And you're like, oh, I'm from Kansas. And the first thing they say is, oh, you're not in Kansas anymore, Dodo. Because I get that all the freaking time.
I don't hang out with jackasses, Steven. Present company excluded. I do not. Nah, that was too mean. Anyway, I just I hate that. And I feel like they really wanted to do something here. They wanted to give us something kind of over the top and wild and crazy. But it's so familiar every beat, every moment. Yeah.
And that's why I said it kind of works that way because it is familiar.
You know, we get the warden who's Ilsa, the she-wolf of the SS, who clocks her in the face before she says anything. And it's just, you get Bog from Shawshank Redemption trying to kill her and, you know, he'll never walk again. But I don't know. I feel like there are ways to do these kind of familiar, tropey, kind of really archetypical stories. Like, you know, just off the top of my head, you remember the Gilligan's Island episode where they did Jack and the Beanstalk?
Yeah.
Okay. That's an example of a story where we knew what was coming. We knew it was coming and they said it and they did it. And it was like, oh, well, that was actually kind of neat. This never tries to transcend itself. And it's not, you know, I've read Robin Hood before. I know Robin Hood vaguely as a character, at least as much as anyone can know. Can you really ever know Robin Hood? But when you come into a Xenoscope book, sometimes you have to say, I'm going to really take my eyes off the cheesecake so I can appreciate the story going on with the magic-y magic. This book hasn't had to do that for me. I've never read a Robin Hood and gone, wow, I'm super distracted by the fact that the artist has just drawn her with zeppelins on her chest. This feels like a book where they're trying to do a more straightforward superhero-y take in that Xenoscope shared reality.
And right.
This issue feels like they've taken all the stuff that might be interesting about Robin Hood and stuck it in, you know, Cool Hand Luke, only with dialogue that was assembled from 90s episodes of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I don't know. I just didn't care for it. I'm very sad.
This is okay. This is an okay book. But like I said, if you wanted to kind of get a feel for what Green Arrow Supermax would have been, I think it didn't even have Green Arrow in the title. I think it was just called Supermax. This will give you a feeling for what that movie would have been like. So from that aspect, I say it's okay. But I would say that if you are already reading Robin Hood, then you've already picked this up. If you are a new reader to Robin Hood, this isn't a place to start.
Just walk away.
Yeah, just probably look at it and walk away. I mean, the art is fine. There's nothing really wrong with the art. It's pretty solid, except that I think it may be. And again, this is me who can't draw a straight line. At times, the figure work feels very stiff.
Yeah.
And it doesn't need to be. But otherwise I think the art is fine. I think the story it's fine. It's not great. This isn't going to win awards, but it also isn't the worst thing in the world. So take it or leave it. It is up to you.
Yeah. I would say leave it, but I would also say that that's not an overarching judgment of hate facery. It's just a book that didn't quite hit the mark, and the mark that it was hitting for is so well-defined and so very familiar that you kind of either have to hit it dead solid perfect or hit it far enough off to the side that it looks like you meant to do that and do something really weird and crazy. And it didn't do either, so it just kind of fell into that weird realm of what?
Yeah. Coming out next week from Dark Horse Comics, we have Angel Season 11 trade paperback, Out of the Past. We also have Gru, Play of the Gods, number 2, and Shadows on the Grave, number 7 of 8. That's the
Are you sure it's not issue. Playa of the Gods and Gru is going to the beach?
Yeah, that's right. He's a playa.
Yeah.
Over at DC Comics, we have Action Comics 985, Batgirl and the Birds of Prey, number 13, Earth 2, Society trade paperback, volume 4, Life After Death, Flash number 28, Harley Quinn number 25, Mr. Miracle number 1, Suicide Squad number 23, and Titans number 14. In the IDW category, we have Back to the Future number 22, Cosmic Scoundrels number 5. No idea what that's about. First Strike, I think, is
about these scoundrels or cosmic.
I think First Strike is that Hasbro Universe crossover event thingy with like the G.I. Joes and the Transformers and the ROMs and the Space Knights and all that stuff.
I thought that was Revolution. Is this like a new iteration?
I think this one is a new one. I think it's the next thing.
The next big thing?
Yeah, the next big thing.
Nice.
Powerpuff Girls Time Tie, number 3. That's the final issue of that little mini arc. And then we have Transformers Tell All R1, number 12. There you go.
Tell All R1.
Image Comics has Kill or Be Killed, Low, number 19, Rose, number 5, Sacred Creatures, number 2, Walking Dead, the Lucille ballpoint pin, 16-piece set for $9.99. So if you're a big fan of Negan and you need a ballpoint pin that looks like Lucille, there you go. You can get a set of 16 of them for $9.99.
I'm torn in that I hate Negan.
Yeah.
But my wife has that Negan t-shirt that came in
the Loot Crate.
Loot Crate a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And I'll be darned if it doesn't look really good on her. So I'm like, yeah, I hate Negan, but I don't know.
You want that ballpoint pin set.
Well, I don't, but she might.
Marvel Comics has the all-new Wolverine number 23. I wonder if that's got X-23 in it. Interesting. Defenders number 4, Edge of Venomverse number 4. Generations, Morals, and Parker Spider-Man poster. Or Morales. Oh, I'm sorry.
What?
Generations, and there should be some colon or something there. Morales and Parker Spider-Man poster, because the whole Generations thing is kicking off, where Miles Morales and Peter Parker join forces again and again and again.
Again and again and again and again and
Jean Grey number 5, Marvel Universe Guardians of the Galaxy number 21, Old Man Logan Matthew number 27. Oh, man. Speaking of Old Man Logan, for those of you that are members of our Patreon page. Yeah, Matthew, what's our Patreon page?
Patreon.com/major spoilers.
That's right. And Matthew had the pleasure of writing a whole review about Old Man Logan, the trade paperback.
Oh, you people. I'm going to tell you what I tell my wife. Never doubt that I love you.
He's going to keep doing this month after month as long as we remain above the goal limit. We've hit it for the second month in a row. And so now Matthew is going to review a single issue of Marvel. But which issue will it be? If you are a Major Spoilers Patreon member at patreon.com/major spoilers, you can cast your vote, but you got to do it fast. The 15th comes up. That's when it closes. And that gives Matthew 15 days to lovingly craft an article based on his favorite books of all time in the Why Do You Hate Me segment. So head over to head over to patreon.com/major spoilers and sign up. If you find some value in this show, and maybe you share a little bit of information, or maybe you've decided to not read a comic or read a comic based on one of our reviews, then give a little back. $2, $5, $10, $20, $55, or maybe you want to be one of those $100,000 people that want to contribute that much per month. And if you're one of those $100,000 people, we will fly to your home and do a show from your home.
Da, 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 da.
We will take you out to dinner.
At Burger King. We're not, you know, rich.
Well, $100,000 a month. We better take you to someplace nice. We'll take you to Shoney's.
We'll take you to the French restaurant, La Burger King.
Most people, though, are signing up at the $5 level. We certainly appreciate everyone's support. But the higher you go, the higher you go, the more perks that you get, like the 11th anniversary t-shirt exclusive to our producer level members. So what are you waiting for?
Yeah,
Patreon.com/major spoilers. Oh, we were talking about Marvel Comics Old Man Logan number 27 out next week.
Old Man Logan ran away.
Star Wars Dr. Aphra number 11. True Believers Kirby 100th Thor versus Hulk number 1. So it must be his 100th anniversary. Although his birthday's not until like the 28th. Birthday. His birthday's not until like the 28th. So they're a little early on their Kirby stuff. They should have it coming out in a couple of weeks.
Maybe they're doing like a 3-week buildup and then some big thing I'm going to think about.
Maybe, because they do have a bunch of Kirby stuff coming up. And also Joe Simon stuff, too, because his birthday is in October. They would have both been 100 this year.
Nice.
In all the rest category, we have Adventure Time number 67, Belladonna number 1, Catalyst Prime Acel, ACCELL number 3. Let's see, Danger Doll Squad number 0. Doctor Who, the 11th Doctor, gets a trade paperback. Grant Morrison's 18 Days, number 25. Jungle Fantasy Annual 2017.
Okay, how many covers?
I bet I can count them before you do.
Well, seeing as you're looking at them and I'm not, I'm going to go with...
There are 8 covers on that one.
Oh, I was going to say 7.
You would have been close. They always go in pairs, right? So I would say on average... On average, I would say that there's 8, because there's the main cover, then the nude variant of that cover, and then the, you know, the wraparound the cover, and then, yeah, so they always have the nude variant of everything. So if you figure that most comic books...
The pina colada flavored color, the pina colada flavored nude cover.
So if you figure that most issues have 4 variant covers, which a lot of them do, I mean, what do we got? The Power Rangers, Go-Go Power Rangers is coming up. And that one's got like 4 covers for its, or maybe it's 5 for that one. But
probably
for most of
5,
them,
1 for each.
Yeah, 1 for each ranger. And then a group shot one. So 6. So just double that and put it nude. And then that's how you can figure out how many are coming out from that.
Do
Let's
not
try
want
that again.
A white ranger nude cover.
Let's try that again, Matthew. Here comes Unholy number 1. Mm-hmm. How many covers? Or I'm sorry, this one's a bad one because all these are reprints. Sorry.
4. It's got the cover, the minty fresh cover.
All right, let's do this one.
Fresh nude cover.
Oh, these are all reprints too. Boo.
The cilantro cover.
All right, here we go.
The extra Helena, guacamole.
Helena Scythe number 1 comes out next week.
Okay.
How many covers does it have?
Helena, I'm going to say 27, 1 for each chromosome.
No. Also, not a good example because these are all reprints too. These guys failed me this week. I guess I should have been tipped off with the annual, meaning that that's their main one, and everything else is all reprints of their other stuff.
Reprints.
Anyway,
you
can head over to majorspoilers.com next week and get the complete list, and then head out to your comic book store Wednesday morning with the Major Spoilers staff recommendations, so you know which comics to buy. Next week on Dueling Review.
Mr. Miracle, number 1 from the team behind The Sheriff of Babylon and the Hugo Award-nominated writer of The Vision, comes a unique new take on one of Jack Kirby's most beloved new gods. Scott Free is the greatest escape artist that ever lived. So great that he escaped Granny Goodness' gruesome orphanage and the dangers of apocalypse to travel across galaxies and set up a new life on Earth with his wife, the former female Fury, known as Big Barda. Using the stage alter ego of Mr. Miracle, he's made a career for himself showing off his acrobatic escape techniques. He even caught the attention of the Justice League, which counted him amongst his ranks. You might say Scott Free has everything, so why isn't it enough? Mr. Miracle has mastered every illusion, achieved every stunt, pulled off every trick except one. He's never escaped death. Is it even possible? Our hero is going to have to kill himself if he wants to find out.
You can show your support for this show and everything we do at Major Spoilers by heading over to that Patreon page that we mentioned a moment ago, patreon.com/majorspoilers. Your contribution allows us to keep this show going, pay for our growing costs, gives us the motivation to produce more for you each and every week. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for checking out Dueling Review, and we will talk with you next time when you will hear Matthew say,
I suppose Jack Benny is Secretary of the Treasury.
This podcast is copyright 2017 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.